This morning's gospel lesson for us gives us a sandwich. Gives us a great sandwich. We get this healthy slab of Holy Spirit, counselor, comforter, depending on your translation, between two slices of love and obedience commands. Yep. It's between the opening, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," and the closing, where it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." And it's between those two that we hear God's promise through Jesus that he's going to ask the Father to send this counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be with us forever. And it's the ones who love Jesus and keep his commandments. That's the us and forever. Jesus further describes that the world cannot receive and cannot see him or know him. Again, because the world does not keep the commandments and thereby does not love Jesus. And if they cannot receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Period. That's from Jesus. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Well, three motivations that draw us, pull us, or push us for obedience. We can obey because we have to. We can obey because we want to. Or we can obey because we need to. Now, a slave has to obey in order to live. An employee obeys because he wants to continue to being paid. But a believer, obeys God's word because he needs to. He needs to, for the relationship between himself and God is one of love. That's the difference. Obedience is a central theme throughout all Scripture. From the story of creation to the end of Revelation, it's difficult to turn a page and not be confronted with obedience, either directly or indirectly. It's God's call, his continual call for us. In our time, however, obeying God's commands, kind of ignored, dismissed, glossed over. Why? I think it's because obedience sometimes slaps us right in the face. It confronts us with sin or doing things, thinking things, saying things that we shouldn't. It challenges our lives. Yet God commands us continually, still, yet, today, to obey. Not because he's on some kind of a power trip, but rather because he wants what's best for us. Now, God's commands are not a killjoy. They're not there to take the fun out of life, but to increase our enjoyment in the relationship we have with the Father. God would have established Saul's kingdom forever, if you read your Old Testament history. But because of his disobedience, it was taken away and given to someone else. Now, obeying God is nothing like obeying someone else. Even parents, who are supposed to love us and take care of us, will sometimes lead their children wrongly or command them to do things that are not good for them. But God will never command us to do anything wrong. He loves us more than anything else and any other could. And he'd never lead us where we shouldn't be. And it's for our ultimate good that he commands us. So if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, says Jesus. We could say that this is a very strong statement by Jesus. Think of the opposite. Does this mean that every time that I sin, I do not love Jesus? Well, in a way, yes. Yes, it does. Although we love Jesus, every time we commit a sin, we love something else or someone else more than Jesus. If we love Jesus more than anything else in the world, we would keep ourselves free from anything that hinders us in our relationship with Jesus. Sin, as you well know, is a stumbling block to that. And our relationship suffers when we stumble over those things. If we love Jesus, we'll strive, And here it did. Here it again. It's a strive. Strive to give ourselves totally to him. And when we sin and when we give ourselves to something else, we need to understand that when we love Jesus with all our heart and soul and mind, we'll not want anything else. Every time we gather Sunday morning, what is it that I read? Or Father Phil? Here's the first and great commandment. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, there it is. And when we love something else more, we cannot put Christ in first place. We hear out of 1 John, the second chapter, starting at the third verse. That's not this morning's reading, but it's a different reading from 1 John. We know that we have come to know him. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. We get the same obedience issues in this morning's second reading from the third chapter of 1 John. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another just as he's commanded us. And if you keep his commandments, you will abide in him and he in you. And he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given you. So what we get is obeying God. And if we do that, we do that with not only our heart, but our mind, our soul, and our strength. So Jesus here is not answering the question, how does one become a Christian? He's not saying that if you want to be saved or receive God's grace, to know God, then you have to obey. What he's saying is, how do you know that you know God? It's manifest in the way you live. It's manifest in your obedience. In other words, we know what we know when we know that God is in our lives, and we know that we need to obey because we know God is in our lives. I know this is being recorded, and somebody's going to play that back 3 or 4 times here. What did he say? Martha! John is not teaching us that salvation is conditional on obedience. John's teaching that salvation is seen, is known, and understood through our obedience. And in turn, that obedience contributes to our assurance of salvation. Obedience is the sign that we know God. Recognizing that God expects his people to live a certain way, his way. So the question is, how do we know that we know God? And no, I'm not going to repeat that thing from before. How do we know that we know God? The test is whether we keep his commandments. Do you obey God's word? Is the Bible your final rule in faith and practice? Our obedience to God's word will transform our lives. John's point is pretty simple. If you claim to know God, but your life is not changed by knowing him, then that's certainly a sign you really don't know God. Further, John is saying that the person who does not keep God's commandments does not have the truth at all. Why? Because God's truth in our lives changes us and transforms us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, once you have that truth, it fills you with a fire in your soul and a love for the living God and changes your perspective on just about everything. God's truth always leads to love and always leads to obedience, and that it leads to a transformed life. John makes it clear that our love for God is a reflection of God's love for us and is a response to it, and so that our keeping God's word can be seen as a sign that God's love has been fully received and fully transformed our lives, our thoughts, our words, our actions and behavior. This transformation means that the believer's love is entire and it's mature. True love of God is expressed in that moral obedience, and we keep his commandments because of our love for God. When we comprehend that Jesus did for us, what he did for us, by sacrificing himself, our response to love him and to obey him flows naturally. An obedient walk with Christ implies a living relationship of the deepest and closest sorts with God through Jesus. But if you're in him, abiding in Christ, then you're walking like Christ, living like Christ. Now, Jesus promises in John this morning that if you do this, you will know fully, as he says, that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Further, he promises that he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the more we love, the more we will obey. The more we obey, the more we have a deeper and broader relationship. The more we have a deeper and broader relationship, the more Jesus manifests, makes himself visible to us. So if some morning you wake up and you go, you know, I don't think I've really felt or seen Jesus in a few days or weeks. I wonder what he's doing. The question is, what are you doing? What have you been up to? What have you been thinking? What's your behavior been like? What are the words coming out of your mouth? Who have you depreciated in thought, word, or deed? That's where Jesus will be. So because we have that, we might say, okay, it's just too difficult. And if you're ready just to hang it up and say, I'm out of here, hold on. Remember that slice in the middle? That big, thick slice of Holy Spirit? Here we go. Here's what the promise is. He tells us that we would experience his presence and more fully and intimately know God, because he is the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And he's not just going to be out there, he's going to reside in us. Of the many resources that the Spirit brings to our lives, he brings an awareness of God's love, a sense of guidance and purpose in life, the power to obey Jesus, and the realization that we are united in a relationship with God, a recognition and understanding of the truth. So it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to obey God's commandments. The Holy Spirit's job. And he teaches us what is right. He guides us by the hand to follow God. And he is our cheerleader, if you will, to promote God's will in our lives. And we can't fail if we love God and have his Holy Spirit with us in obedience. So love and obedience are yoked together. For obedience confirms love, and love creates the need for obedience. Obedience, which does not proceed from genuine love, has no reality in it. And it's not the genuine offspring of the heart, the real act of your soul. Obedience not arising from love is forced and burdensome. It's formal, it's mechanical, it's legal. It's empty. Obedience, also, that springs forth from fear, is selfishness, legality, self-praise, merely a custom, and insipid and worrisome, while obedience from love is easy, natural, and pleasant. Loving Jesus, therefore, is not just something emotional. Loving Jesus means changing our lives and working on our personalities and characters, overcoming the sinful thoughts and habits and behaviors, and stretching ourselves to love all that is Jesus. Loving Jesus means being informed by the Spirit of Truth, knowing his word. We need to see the difference between the world's way of thinking and acting and the values of the world and the way of God through Jesus. If we fill ourselves with the world's values and lifestyles, our minds will be contaminated by false images of ourselves, others, and the world. TV and a materialistic culture does not understand God's truth because it cannot receive the Holy Spirit. It neither sees him or knows him. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25, Paul puts the contrast between this world and God's Holy Spirit this way. And for those who are going to look it up, Galatians 5, verses 16 through 25. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And here's the crutch. The crutch? The crunch. Here's the big part. Verse 22 and following. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh and with the passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul gives us a glimpse of that contrast. So if we truly want to live like Christ, live in love of Jesus, we need to fill our minds with his thoughts, his ways of looking at the world. We can fill our minds with Jesus' thoughts through Scripture, reading spiritual books, and praying as much as possible throughout the day. If we fill our minds with worldly concerns and cultural cares, how can we fully love Jesus? It would be impossible, and it would be impossible to keep his commandments. Again, the words of Jesus this morning are, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We cannot have a pure love for Jesus and sin in our lives at the same time. As Jesus made clear to us in 6th chapter of Matthew, verse 24, that we cannot serve two masters. We have to choose one. Truly loving Jesus leads us to give up whatever is in our lives that will draw us away from Jesus. Truly loving Jesus leads us to making changes in the way that we live and work and think and act and behave. Sinning is putting Jesus in second place or third place. But when we love Jesus, we put him first. And to do that, we have to keep his commandments. So how do we know if we love Jesus? How do we know? We have to look at the way we live our lives. Do we live as Jesus asks? Do we live as Jesus asks us through the church's teachings, through his scriptures? If we do, we know we love Jesus. This obedient, trusting love leads to two things. First, it leads to ultimate safety. Ultimate safety. On that day of Christ's triumphal return, those who have been as obedient to Christ out of love will be safe in a crashing world. Second, it leads us to more full and deeper revelation. This morning's gospel ends with the promise of Jesus that he who loves me and love my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. It's the manifest myself to him that I want to focus on. In other words, because we love Jesus and keep his commandments, he will reveal more and more of himself to us. And the revelation of God draws us into a closer, deeper relationship of love with him. Fellowship with God and the revelation of God are dependent on love. Love is dependent on obedience. The more we obey God, the more we understand Him, and the person who walks in the way of Christ will soon, by following His commandments, inevitably walk with Christ. Amen.